This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. If you are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, you may have noticed the hashtag 10-year challenge, which is a series of photos that people are posting the before and after, and it's supposed to be 10 years apart. I've actually taken part in this. I'm guilty of it. Although I didn't do a side-by-side kind of profile, nor did I actually post it on like a Facebook. I was just kind of doing it on an Insta story. It was kind of like, one of those 24 hours and then it disappears. And I didn't even actually put in the hashtags of the 10-year challenge. What I did was I posted a story that just had the word text that saying like, on the next few stories on my feed, you will be seeing the 10-year challenge. And I did the before with no hashtags and then the after with no hashtags. Now, I thought it's just like, I didn't put much thought into this until I came across an article on Wired. Yeah. And then it hit me. I go like, whew, thank God I took the smarter route, because this may seem harmless, but it's an algorithm genius or mining data here.
Well, it could be. I mean, that's the thing. We don't know. A lot of people have been speculating that it is potentially for the reasons of mining data, but also it's perfecting the algorithms that show how people age.
Yeah.
More specifically, I'll let you.
Yeah. So Facebook apparently did deny having any hand in this 10-year challenge. But it kind of makes sense if you just think about, you would argue that saying that Facebook already has your profile photo, especially when you signed up. Maybe 10 years ago when you signed up, you had a profile photo that was uploaded. And then in between, you may have uploaded a few other bunch of photos and stuff. Yeah, that's great. Facebook already has this data. And if they want to do an age comparison and how you've aged in the last 10 years, they could have done this anyways. But what's useful here is that people are actually tagging.
Yeah, absolutely.
And making it so much more easier for them to pull this exact feed of
data. And as Kate O'Neill, the author of the article, she mentions as well, it doesn't necessarily have to be Facebook that's done it either, because we already know that so many companies have access to our data through Facebook and have had improper access in the past. So it could be a company decided to get this going because they have access to that information.
And also facial recognition softwares have just gone leaps and bounds now. And it's you know that there are companies out there looking to see how you will age. Amazon, for example, they're trying to, come up with facial recognition stores, right, that use them. We have one here, I think, in Malaysia that's like a bingo box retail store that you scan a QR code and then it has a facial recognition scan. In China, they're doing that as well. So this whole idea of getting our faces into an AI system and then letting the AI system predict how we're going to look like in the next 10 years is something that they're keen to know. Because you don't want to walk in one day and go like, I have no idea who you are. You can't enter this place anymore. Like, you can't buy this item anymore.
Also, it's also about having your information in a database and that database being used for however many different purposes to identify you in any public place. Because, we know how many security cameras, how many video cameras there are around. I think some of the more benign examples that have been quoted is like there was something in India that was done with facial recognition software and it helped to discover a lot of missing children.
Yeah.
I think it found several thousand in the space of a few weeks. However, it does also help to track people. Yes, you can say, well, it helps us to find terrorists, but that depends on who defines what a criminal or what a terrorist actually is. If criminal means that you're walking in the wrong place at the wrong time of day or night, then suddenly you've become a criminal for doing nothing more
than
walking outside.
I've seen the good side of facial recognition. I was in the US sometime last year, and there was a company that's actually, like what you said, in instead of India, actually they're doing around the world searching for missing children that was, for some whatever reason has been disappeared off from the family members, and they're using facial recognition and scouring the web, whether it's through Facebook or any social platform or even just a Google Google image search, trying to find and then trying to relate, and this the right kind of individuals. And they've got a pretty good rate of matching and then getting the information from that photo itself with the, you know, the e-mix data and stuff like that, right?
I mean, but it does come down to weighing the pros and cons, right? So when you look at, you know, maybe it can help to find a few thousand people, but in the context of how many billion people there are on the planet, that's statistically very, very small. Yes, of course, that is of value to the people who have lost someone and found them. But if that means that the rest of us have our privacy eroded, then, you know, I've yet to see a case for facial recognition that I actually agree with.
Which is why on for this 10-year challenge, you did something completely different.
I did something completely different. Well, as you know, this week, trying to get a photo out of me is
difficult.
Like,
is very an difficult. Understatement.
Yeah, so obviously I saw this. I mean, it kind of passed me by. It was only when I saw a few of my friends posting it, I thought, what is this 10-year challenge?
Yeah.
And then I saw this Wired article. I read the Wired article, and half a dozen people sent me the Wired article. Which is great. Which is fantastic. So, you know, so when I actually looked at the challenge, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to post something different. So I posted a picture of a basket of kittens because 10 years ago, the first attempts at facial recognition software identified my face as a basket of kittens. So that's what I looked like 10 years ago. And I put a well-known Satanist as the as the other person because, you know, you've got to have a contrast.
Yeah, so that's how you've evolved 10 years ago from
now. But I do know, I am aware that the software will not recognize that as me. I mean, it will recognize the fact that that is a basket full of kittens, and it will dismiss me as part of the data pool.
Yeah.
But it does go back to understanding the value of what we post on social media, because this is potentially something that you've done ostensibly for fun, which is going to make money for somebody else on the back of your data.
Which goes down to all social media platforms, whether it's a game within Facebook and stuff. It may give you a lot of fun in doing this, but
absolutely,
there are so many more things that you're doing behind it.
Especially, I know we're running out of time on this segment, but even those captures that you have to do, where you have to match the pictures to prove that you're not a robot, which is also helping to train an algorithm to recognize things in a picture.
Insane, totally insane. One of the best 10-year challenge that I came across was, you know, 10 years ago, it was one of these Instagram accounts that post a lot of the science kind of photos. So 10 years ago, posted a photo of this polar bear, you know, looking really healthy in the Arctic Circle. And then now it's, you know, I don't know if it's the same polar bear, but it was this really unhealthy looking polar bear. And most of the ice that it was standing on is just melted. So it's just kind of a reflection of how the world has changed. And, you know, you see different things happening around the world. And I think after the break, we will talk about one of the, you know, Instagram posts that's just gone absolutely viral around the world and just, you know, kind of states the whole dream that we're living in, the world that we're living in at this point in time. Anyways, we'll be right back. Geekswalks after this, BFM 89.9.
Burden-free Malaysia. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And we're back. It's Geekswalks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage. If you were on Instagram recently, you may have noticed an egg has gone viral. Just a normal brown-ish looking egg shot on a white background. No real...
Just a stock image,
it's
right?
It's a stock image. And apparently the photographer is a stock image photographer as well. I think it's Sergei Planotov. Plantonotov. That's his name. Sorry if I pronounce it wrong. He's now actually the most... He owns the photo of the most liked photo on the entire internet. Not just on Instagram. The goal was just to be the most liked photo on Instagram because Kylie Jenner's baby's photo apparently became the most liked photo, like 20-something.
The baby grabbing her finger or something, right?
Yeah. So like apparently the daughter's photo became the most liked Instagram photo of all time, somewhere around like 23 million likes or something like that. Just a day later, not only did... So on January 4th, someone posted an Instagram account, created an Instagram account called called At World Record Egg, where he or she or they posted the single photo of an egg. And this egg photo has actually been bought by Stock Image, one of the Stock Image sites, and it's actually licensed and stuff. So that's where Sergey Planetov, the photographer, actually found out about it, that he's suddenly... Because they make money from that. You get paid...
But he probably only made like a few cents.
Yeah,
from
but he was probably wondering why am I making money?
Yeah, but he's suddenly the most celebrated photographer on the planet, right?
So January 14, so 10 days after someone created that account, the photo became the most liked photo of Instagram of all time. But just a day later, January 15, 15 days, it had gotten over 42 million likes, more than any post anywhere online ever, and the numbers just keep on growing.
I like stories like this. I mean, yeah. I know people.
This is people
say,
uniting.
Yeah, it's people uniting. I know people say it's a bit silly. I mean, there was one thing where I think it was some people in the UK didn't like some track that was headed for Christmas number one, so they had a campaign for people to buy Rage Against the Machine's Killing in the Name, and that then became the number one for that year. I like campaigns like this because, like you said, I mean, it's people showing that, you know, they can stand behind something, but and also because it just shows how silly all of this stuff is. Because who cares if the most liked post of all time is an egg? Who cares if it's a picture of Kylie Jenner's finger? Who cares if the most streamed track ever is by Justin Bieber or whoever it currently is? You know, none of this stuff matters. And it just, the silliness of it is what makes it so powerful, I think.
What I like is the person running the egg account has since monetized it by trying to sell T-shirts of the photos of the egg, and they are saying that they will send portions of the proceeds to charity.
Yeah, that's so, actually the part I don't like, to
don't
be honest.
Like it?
No, I mean, if you're going to do it, send all of the money to charity.
Yeah, so I think maybe,
trying to monetize this,
I think the cost
is kind of against the spirit of
maybe,
it.
Maybe I the mean, cost of printing it and stuff.
No,
so,
for sure. If you're going to send all the profits to charity,
yeah,
that's
all
fine.
The profits
I have
would
no,
be great. Yeah.
No issue. But if you're looking at ways to monetize this as a stunt, no, this is just a fun thing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make you a genius to post a picture of an egg.
Yeah, I do hope that they will come out and say, like, what we meant is that all the profits that we made from
all the proceeds will go to charity. Let's shame them into giving money away.
They should that. Also, the photographer has no clue why this is going viral, but he said, like, you know what? It doesn't pretend to be anything other than a simple brown egg. Therein lies its beauty. And I thought that, you know what? Kind of justifies us as humans, right?
We can all
get together.
And you know, as photos of eggs go, it's one of the better ones.
But it's a really good photo of
this
an
is
egg.
A bit like one of the things we did for King of the Crowd last year, or Confused by the Crowd, or Down in the Dumps, I'm not sure what it was, which was a perfectly bound picture book of photos of chickens, which somebody was trying to crowdsource. Yeah, exactly. Just nonsense.
Speaking of the, you know, King of the Crowd, Down in the Dumps, we're going to change this year round. We're changing it up to...
We have King of Culture.
Oh, why King of Cultures?
Just because it allows me to do pretty much anything.
And we're starting off with a big bang as well.
Well, we're starting off with a big bang. So, obviously, it's... very close now to the anniversary of David Bowie passing away. It's also the month of his birthday. So there's an app that came out a couple of weeks ago called David Bowie Is. Now, we don't normally talk about apps on the show, but I wanted to mention this partly because it makes very good use of augmented reality technology, and also because it's a really nice way to bring the kind of world of David Bowie alive. So it's based on an exhibition of his life and work that was done at the Victoria and Albert Museum a couple of years ago. And it's taken them, I think, like 18 months to transfer all of those artifacts and all of that information into this app form. So you can explore handwritten lyric sheets, notes. Obviously, you can listen to bits of the music. You can see stage costumes. And obviously, you can zoom in and out. So it's very nicely put together. It's not perfect because, you know, AR technology is not, you know, it's a bit finicky. So getting the app set up takes a little bit of time to find a surface that isn't reflective. But it is a really fantastic exploration into his kind of life and work. And if you are a fan of Bowie and you didn't get to go and see that exhibition in the UK a few years ago, it's probably the only way that you'll see some of those artifacts in this form. It is a little bit on the pricey side. I think it's about $10 US.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So it's about 39 ringgit.
But if you're a David Bowie fan.
If you're a David Bowie fan, or even if you like seeing what can be done with apps, with augmented reality, and also this kind of intersection of museums and technology as well, then it's a fantastic app to actually explore. So that's my tip for this week. David Bowie is. And I am just going to quickly mention before we move on, I saw an announcement today for a new Steve Carell comedy on Netflix, which is going to be based on Donald Trump's Space Force.
There's
no details at the moment, but it's made by the same people that did The Office US.
Oh, man.
So I think you can imagine it's going to be the same kind of bumbling, really not sure what we're doing kind of nonsense. So really looking forward to that. They haven't given us a release date yet, but it should come sometime this year. So keep an eye out for this new Netflix Space Force comedy.
Oh, it's going to be so good. I actually wanted to end with on a happy note, but also just like I think a couple of hours ago or just earlier today, it kind of had like a sad ending.
There was a space death.
Yeah, the moon is lifeless once again because you may have came across a story about cotton plants actually sprouted on the moon's far side on board the China's Chang'e-4 lander. Unfortunately, though, they're all dead, and it's all done through the bitter cold of the lengthy lunar night. Apparently, it was minus 55 degrees Celsius.
Yeah, it can go as low as minus 170, I think. Yeah.
So these photosynthesizing pioneers were part of the Chang'e 4's biological experiment, which also included seeds of potatoes and also this plant, which is like has this weird kind of scientific name, as well as fruit fly eggs and yeast as well. And it touched down on the far side of the Chang'e's Lander Rover Duo on the night of January the 2nd. However, the experiment, which just began a few hours after their historic touchdown, kind of sort of like went on a failure.
I mean, I'm hoping they experiment with something more than cotton, because if it gets out that that's all Chinese astronauts are going to be able to eat on the moon, there's not going to be a lot of people going out there.
Yeah, so the temperature inside this 1 liter capacity canister had reached the minus 52 degrees Celsius. Now, the one of the good news is talking about like space waste and stuff. So the dead plants will rot days after it breaks over in this canister, but the canister is in an enclosed system, so the decaying materials will not leak into the lunar surface. So yeah, we don't have anything living outside of our planet Earth then, I guess.
No,
back to square one.
Unless that dummy comes to life driving the Tesla out on the edges of
that will be weird and cool at the same time.
Absolutely, especially if Bowie's still playing.
Oh yeah, actually yeah, we need to get an update on what's happening with the Tesla Roadster, and like, you know, I know it's just gone out of Interstellar already, but I'm not sure, like, is the car still in one
piece? I don't know.
Piece?
It's probably still on a Bluetooth connection. Who knows?
What do we have for Geek Tunes?
As we've mentioned David Bowie endlessly, I think we have to end with Space Oddity.
Yeah. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.